Hello, this is Katie, and it's the second session in January 2014 of the Money Matrix Transformation Club. And welcome, everybody. And first of all, I would like to talk a little bit. I'm changing the name, actually, to Matrix Transformation Club, because we will be doing things around money but also other issues. So it just gives a bit of a broader focus. But, of course, you're always welcome to bring on the money issues in any call. And all the issues that we will be dealing with will have their, you know, will have their impact on your money relationship. So if anybody actually wants to ask a question or make a comment on that later, they're welcome. What we're doing today and is we're going to be focusing on the ugly duckling story as a story of a misfit and for their life who just didn't fit in. And for those of you who've been on the Money Matrix marathon, the last time I introduced a character which was the 13th wise woman, who was like a misfit in a sense, but really angry about it all. Now, the ugly duckling is more sad and you know, just feeling out of sorts than the 13th wise woman, but it gives another take on it. And I feel like I know there's for example, I've felt a lot of resonance with that in different ways. You know, partly, I think if you don't correspond to the Barbie doll, Barbie doll view of beauty, there's that aspect of that for our society, for anybody who's a little bit different in the way they look. But also, I think it more deeply, it's our feelings of how whether we fit in or not. And for me, it's mostly been like many of you. I have lots of different passions, and I've been, you know, I'm slightly quirky or whatever. So I'm not like the norm of this society. And of course, as an activist and all those things, I've been very much a person who's somewhat, you know, feels like the ugly duckling, not quite not quite with the right people sometimes to understand them. And so I think I just sent a little story, which isn't the original story. I've just been reading some more about it. It's from Hans Christian Andersen. And the story I sent you a few minutes ago is not that, but and it's kind of adapted, and perhaps there's some of the elements that are missing. But I'll just read it for a moment, and you can kind of think about it and think about ways. In fact, even take a pen and jot some notes and see if there's any ways that you felt like the ugly duckling. And so I'll just read it to you. A little duckling was very sad because he thought he was the ugliest among all his brothers and sisters. They would not play with him and teased the poor ugly duckling. One day he saw his reflection in the water and cried, "Nobody likes me. I'm so ugly." He decided to leave home and went far into the woods. Deep in the forest, he saw a cottage in which there lived an old woman, her hen, and her cat. The duckling stayed with them for some time, but he was very unhappy there and soon left. When winter set in, the poor duckling almost froze to death. A peasant took him to his home, to his wife and children. The poor duckling was terrified of the children and escaped. The ugly duckling spent the winter in a marshy pond. Finally, spring arrived. One day, the duckling saw a beautiful swan swimming in the pond and fell in love with her. But then he remembered how everyone made fun of him, and he bent his head down in shame. When he saw his own reflection in the water, he was astonished. He was not an ugly duckling anymore, but a handsome young swan. Now he knew why he had looked so different from his brothers and sisters. "They were ducklings, but I was a baby swan," he said to himself. He married the beautiful swan and lived happily ever after. Well, In actual fact, when I looked at the Hans Christian Andersen version, it's not got this quite the same story, and it's a little bit, how would you say it, less it's a little bit sugar-coated, the one that I sent you. And this one, the one that Hans Christian Andersen is a little bit more interesting as a story. And for example, the very end is in a summary, there's the ugly duckling now having fully grown and matured, cannot endure a life of solitude and hardship anymore, and decides to throw himself at the flock of swans, deciding it is better to be killed by such beautiful birds than to live a life of ugliness and misery. And, you know, this ugly duckling version, he's, you know, he's really abused all the time, and, you know, by others, suffers from verbal and physical abuse. So he's actually, so he thought it's better to be killed by such beautiful birds, and he's shocked when the swans welcome and accept him, only to realize by looking at his reflection in the water that he's grown into one of them. And the flock takes to the air, and the ugly duckling spreads his beautiful large wings and takes flight with the rest of his new family. So that's a bit of a different version. And, you know, I think it's great to play with the versions, and also see where some of it hits in your life. And so what I'm going to do is one of my little improvisations, and I'll see what comes up for the group, and then we can have people talk a little bit about anything that they would like to clear of where, you know, where this story has hit them. And we'll see from there. Let me see. Also, if anybody wants to report anything that's happened in the last month and, you know, or an issue that they've come up, they're welcome to do that. So here, I'm just going to go into something here around the ugly duckling. And I think I'm going to start where he's just surrounded, you know, in his original family, where he's among ducks, but he's not really supposed to be there. I guess his egg got mixed up in the in the thing. Okay, so among the duck eggs, and that's why he hatched there with a duck mother. So actually, it also corresponds to, I guess, to people who have a story of being adopted and not feeling like they're in the right family. So here we go. Let me see. I'm going to get into this. Oh, this is so hard. Nobody likes me, and they all think I'm ugly, and they just tease me all the time, and then they even kick me and hurt me, and I hate it here. I hate it here. I don't feel like my family really is my family, and I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. I look so different, and nobody likes me. And I not only look different, I feel different. It's like, this is not the life for me. It's not the life for me in this barnyard, this farm with these ducks that just go quack, quack, quack. I can't even quack like them. I just go, and then they tease me about that. I really don't know what this is all about. I just have to endure for the moment. But one day, something's there for me. I know it. I just feel it. Something else. A different life. This life I live here, just full of abuse and horridness. And I look at the skies, and I wonder if I ever could fly like some of the birds that fly there. I wonder, and I long to fly. Okay, there's my little ugly duckling. Okay, so One thing that I noticed when I was Googling this was that there's a whole load of comments on the ugly duckling syndrome. So it was really interesting. I think it is a story for many people. And also, just a little thing that I came across in Wikipedia about Hans Christian Andersen, who wrote this, was that, and this is apparently, he was a fat, just a minute, a tall, not a fat, tall, ugly boy with a big nose and big feet. And when he grew up with a beautiful singing voice and a passion for the theater, he was cruelly teased and mocked by other children. The ugly duckling is the child of a swan whose egg accidentally rolled into a duck's nest. And speculation suggests that Andersen was the illegitimate son of a prince and found this out sometime before he wrote the book. And then that being a swan in the story was a metaphor not just for inner beauty and talent, but also for secret royal lineage. Ta-da. So there we have the story, and I'm just going to call for any comments from people before we go into the clearing part of this call.
This is Anne.
Hi, Anne.
Hi. I recently started reading the biography of Charles Schulz, which has sort of I'm just starting it, but it has a similar sort of not feeling a part of and feeling really different. And I was, we're talking, I was really thinking about what it feels like to be not necessarily so sad, but just feeling like you just don't fit in. You know, that everything you do seems to be contrary to everyone else who doesn't seem to notice all the things that you think and feel. So there's this sort of, you know, you're in your own world and people don't get you. So whether or not, it's just like you just don't feel like people understand you.
Excellent. Yeah. Oh, that's so good, Anne, because that's really something that I think people feel. And, you know, have you felt that in your life a little?
A lot. It's probably been, you know, many major themes, but that has been a theme of feeling like I just see things or I feel things and it doesn't seem like anyone else notices. And so I didn't say anything or I found my own sort of way to process it because I just didn't think anybody would get it, as if my whole being was a different language than everybody else.
My whole being was a different language. I love that. Wow, that's yeah. Thank you. Anybody else want to say something?
Katie, it's Loretta.
Hi, Loretta.
I want to kind of preface it with the fact that I'm in a deep recovery program at this particular point. But when you were talking about the choice that the ugly duckling made, you know, that whole thing of going into that mix so that he could be dead. My brother John just came to mind. And when you were thinking, because I think you, and maybe the others don't know that my brother took his life in April of 2012. And he was very much that, you know, he was surrounded by a lot of people who didn't understand him and really made fun of him for his deep love of earth and his practices of thanking water whenever he saw it. And he was just very... he went through a great transformation in the last decade of his life, and it just brought up so many memories of him and how he struggled. And I think, you know, it's partly because I'm very close to dealing with the deep, deep loss that I feel. And also, you know, I think of my other brother and myself. You know, the sense of not feeling like part of the world as it exists. And that's one of the reasons I made a real effort to be on this call, because it just struck me when I first read it. But it's very deep inside. So,
Thank you, Loretta. And that's so, oh, that's just really moving what you shared. And it makes me think also of all the kids who are bullied and mm-hmm. who commit suicide because they're different, either because of their sexual orientation or just because they look different or are different. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else want to say something here? Or we'll just start a clearing, but I'd love to hear anything else.
Katie, Denise here.
Hi, Denise.
Yeah, I'll say that I think that maybe the ugly duckling is the story of my life. I mean, it might be because I was one of these kids that moved every couple of years when I was young, and I don't think that it's changed much as an adult. That I always feel when I walk into a new situation that I'm different. You know, and it's not that I don't reach out or connect, but I just, there's something that is always different. And so that's, you know, so I love the part of the story where suddenly he recognizes who he is.
Yes.
So I keep waiting for that to happen for me.
Okay. Wonderful. Yeah. Well, maybe we can hurry the process on by some clearing. Oh, and what a wonderful swan you are. You just when you see the full beauty. And actually, one of the things that I think is that part of what's happening today with a lot of, you know, people who have been misfits or whatever, but one of my friends, Davey, is doing a really interesting book, which is called From Misfit to Pioneer. And I can't remember, there's another part of the subtitle. But it really is that a lot of people who have been misfits go on to create these amazing things and be pioneers in this, and innovators in this society. And one thing that she's really committed to and is doing is to set up a community of people who all feel like misfits. So it would be kind of like the swan community.
Anyway,
I love that. So anybody else there who wants to say something?
Yeah, it's Emily here.
Hi, Emily. Welcome.
As I was listening to the story, the scene that came flashing back when I was with my grandmother when I was a young child, and she was looking after me, and I think it was Valentine's Day, and I was supposed to be making Valentine's for everybody in my class, and I was like, but everybody hates me. She looked shocked. She looked totally shocked, but that was my perception of all those other people in my class. And the misfit thing, it was like from the moment of birth, because that was another story from my birth, that when the nurses brought me to my mother, she's like, oh, no, you must have brought the wrong child. That's not my child.
Are you serious? Oh, my gosh.
Her response, because they didn't have prenatal education. She didn't know what a baby would look like coming out, I guess. And so that. So those were some of the stories from my life that sort of this story evoked.
Wow. Oh, gosh. That's, wow. Anyway, that's a lot of deep stuff there. Oh, wow. This is great. We've got lots of things here. Pardon?
I'm ready for some clearing.
Yes. So that's what we'll do. And anybody else there? Or we'll...
Hi, Katie. It's Alex.
Hi, Alex. Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, I think how I kind of relate to it more is about being always kind of innovating and being different and being alone on the path. And so I think that what the story reminds me of is that we aren't alone, that there's always community, like, you know, like this one, and you know, where there are like-minded people who can relate and, you know, just remind each other that we're not on the path alone and that we always have beautiful people around us.
Oh, thank you. That's lovely. And actually, that's a lovely way to segue into into the clearing. So let me just see the threads here for a moment, and then I'll just go into it. And people, you can either tap your feet or do the EFT. With tapping the feet, just alternate the 2 feet, and that helps with the clearing. And actually, you could do nothing, and it would still work. But and just receive the energy. But if you also, or you can tap in between the eyebrows, just left, right, with 2 of your fingers, like just alternate tapping. So, yeah, let me see here. Okay, well, there's the theme of being understood, and I loved, you know, that part about my whole world being a different language. The other stuff is being, you know, there's being understood, there's being rejected, being rejected and not feeling a part of, feeling isolated. Okay, and that, you know, again, that perhaps not loved, hated, and as, you know, that you're kind of like you're the wrong child, you know, that you don't, yeah, you just don't fit in. And, the feeling of difference, okay, that we got here. And let me just... alone on the path. So let's just see where that goes with my intuition. It was good to just and I'll look to see that all those points get covered afterwards. Okay, so I'm going to just start with I do the EFT, and if you want to do EFT along, go ahead. Okay. Even though I feel like an ugly duck, I felt like an ugly duckling all my life, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel like an ugly duckling who doesn't fit in, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel like the ugly duckling who never fit in and just got abused and all these horrible things, I deeply love and accept myself.
Don't fit in. Don't fit in.
Don't fit in. Don't fit in. It's like I speak another language. I am another entity, an alien among all these people who seem to act in ways that I don't act and don't understand and don't understand. They don't understand me. They don't even have a clue about what's going on in me. A clue of the depth. The immense depth inside me. They don't see it.
They don't see it.
They don't hear it. They don't see it. They don't hear it. They don't see it. They don't hear it. And I feel I feel so alone. A lone wolf, without their tribe, without their kin, a lone wolf howling in the wind, I'm howling anguish, I'm howling. I haven't found who I belong to, or if I've found them, I just keep disconnecting. I want to connect to my own kind. I want to be able to be in a room and feel connected to my own kind. Even if nobody is there who is like me, I want to feel connected to my own kind, to the little bit in each person that is the ugly duckling, to the little bit in each person that is the ugly duckling, to the little bit, to the little bit, to the little bit. Okie dokie. Take some water. Hopefully you have some beside you, and I'm just sipping some of my own. And anything that came up that anybody would like to say before we go to the next round? Okay. I'll wait one moment, and then I'll start with the other round if I don't hear anything.
The comment that the last caller made before you started the clearing, Katie, I really appreciate that, because that was another piece that I could add, that where I live there are many people who are kind of going on their individual paths.
Yeah.
And so there is geographically a sense of coming home to be in a place where there are others that are kind of on these little paths, and each one is unique. And so appreciate to remind me of the context of things beyond the individual biography story, which I started with sharing.
Right. Lovely. And that was Alex who was mentioning that. And,
Alex.
And Alex is a real pioneer with many things. Anything else here? Actually, and I think just as I said Alex's name, I think she got kicked off the call, but maybe she'll be able to get back on. Or maybe she didn't. I kind of see her there, and I don't. Okay. Anybody else? Or I'm going to go. Okay. Okay. I'm going to maybe do a few for individual people. The other one was general, but it may hit people and others in different ways. So here I'm hearing... Okay, I'm wanting to do something around Loretta, what Loretta mentioned, like her around her brother. Even though I'm in deep grief that I couldn't help my brother, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I'm in deep grief that I couldn't help this beautiful swan keep living, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel this deep grief that I couldn't help this lovely swan join his tribe, I deeply love and accept myself. I'm sending you love. I'm sending you love from here, knowing that you have joined another tribe. And while I wanted it to be on Earth, it's not. It's not. While I wanted it to be on Earth, it's not. And there was nothing I could do. I wanted so much to save you, and you wanted so much to save me. And I really, 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 really want the world to see the beauty of your swan nature, to see the beauty of your swan nature, to see how you flew, how you flew, how you flew, to see how you flew, to not see in your last act, to not see in your last act all you were as a person, all you were as a person. You were just reaching to the light. When you couldn't find it on Earth, you were reaching to the light. And you are now in the light, and you are now in the light. And I'm going to bring your light to the world. I'm going to be your voice. I'm going to be your voice to show your beauty. I'm going to be a voice to show your beauty. And my work and my life will illuminate also yours. My work and your life will be illuminated, will be illuminated, will come to the light, will come to the light. And we'll both help each other. We'll both help each other as we always did. Only now it's a different relationship. I wish you were here in body, but you're not. And it's okay. It's okay. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. All right. Anything anybody wants to share, or I'll go into the next one.
Katie, it's Loretta.
Yes, hi, Loretta.
I don't have a lot of words. I just want to thank you for that. Later, but right now I just want to say thank you.
Yeah, well, I love doing that clearing. I just felt his spirit and his beauty.
Yeah.
And thank you. Okay, so here, I think I'm just going to go into the next one. Let me just look at my list. And, okay, sweet Valentine. It's coming up, Valentine's Day, so why don't we do some clearing around that? And so I'm going to just go into yours, Emily. And even though I felt like everybody hated me and nobody would want to send me a Valentine, and why should I make Valentines for them? I deeply love and accept myself. Even though Valentine's Day was a horror day for me, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though Valentine's Day was a day of dread, I deeply love and accept myself. What if Valentine's Day could be fun? What if it wasn't a popularity contest? What if people loved me? What if I could know that people loved me and that people were sending me Valentine's hugs from all across the world? What if I could know that, and that even if I didn't get a single Valentine's, that actually there were 1,000,000,000 Valentines coming my way? Coming my way, coming my way, from my ancestors, from all the people who've loved me and loved me and loved me and loved me and loved me. What if I could just let go of that story? Let go of that story which started with my mom thinking I was the wrong child. What a silly thing to say. What an absolutely silly, politically correct thing to say. Oh, was she ever uneducated? Oh, were they ever uneducated then? And how many people's lives were just screwed up because of not knowing of people not being educated? And that was a shock for my mom, this wriggly little baby coming out of her, and not, how could she have been so ignorant? But she was, and I forgive her. I let it go. I can forgive her now. I can forgive her. I can let it go and just laugh. I mean, it really is funny. It could be out of I could do a short play on that. That would be a really good scene from a play or a movie. That would be a great scene for a movie. It's like theater. It's comedy. It's comedy now, and I can let it go, and I can let it go, because my life is far more. My life is far more. And maybe I was the wrong child for her, but actually, maybe I was the right one. Maybe there was something in destiny which made me live that feeling of just being not the right child, so I can help other people who feel like they weren't the right child, that they weren't the right child, because I am the right child. I'm absolutely the right child. I'm an amazing person, and I deserve Valentines. I deserve thousands and millions of Valentines for the beautiful soul that I am. And I'm getting thousands and millions and trillions of Valentines, and it's fine, and people love me, and people love me, and people love me, and people love me, and people can't get over loving me. They just can't get over loving me so much. And I'm so surprised that they're loving me, but they are. Isn't that a surprise? People loving me. Loving me, loving me, loving me, loving me, loving my work. I mean, they just can't believe how great my work is. They just can't believe. Okay, there we go. yeah. Anything else coming up for people as we do this thing? I'll just pause for a moment as I've actually been going pretty strong and I need a break for my voice.
This is Anne.
Yes.
Yeah, I just had a thought when you were talking, which is that part of my sort of ugly ducklingness wasn't so much about me, but it was about growing up in a was a big secret, you know, the alcoholic family syndrome. But I, you know, that I sort of would come to school or I would come to places and feel like, I was, you know, in all the social things and that was all fine, but I felt damaged because I'd come from this family that nobody could know about, the big secrets. There's this other aspect of the ugly duckling of having people not know, like, the backstory.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, wow. That's that's huge. And thank you for sharing that, because that really, I hadn't thought of that connection in relation to the ugly duckling, but so many people, either it's alcoholism or other family secrets that they are living with and, you know, feeling damaged by, and they can't tell anybody about it. Yeah, thank you. Right, and I'm going to look at doing a clearing around that. Anybody else, anything coming up here?
I think something, Katie, for me, when you, it was not this clearing, it was a few clearings ago, but something about disconnecting, like even when I am loved and I am in a loving relationship or whatever, there's that pattern of the ugly duckling of kind of pulling back to be safe or self-sabotaging or some kind of pattern that's unconscious. And
yeah,
so that kind of came up for me is like, wow, you know, I really want to be more aware of that, of where I'm doing that in my life and when, so that I can keep healing this.
Thank you. Yeah. And I mean, that is something that really happens even when you're with your tribe now or your group of swans or your swan, you know, another swan. It's like we still keep disconnecting to feel because we're afraid of that rejection. Yeah. And wow, thank you. So we're going to, so the damage and the disconnection, we'll come back to these things. So, okay. Anything else before I go ahead? Or we'll, I'm just ticking off a few things. So, okay. So I'm going to do something more on the what Anne has just brought up. Even though I feel like I'm damaged goods, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel like I'm holding in a great secret all the time, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I feel like I can't tell anybody about what's really going on in my home, I deeply love and accept myself. Such a burden. Such a burden. I can't tell the secrets, the family secrets. I can't tell the family secrets, the family secrets, the dark secrets, the secrets that keep us bound, the secrets of anguish, the secrets of horror, the secrets of, oh, just the secrets, the secrets, the shame, the secrets, the shame, the secrets, the shame of all the secrets I'm hiding. I'm hiding. Nobody else can be like me. Nobody else can understand me. Nobody else can be like me. They don't understand what's going on at home. They don't understand the anguish. They don't understand the daily battles. They don't understand just coming to school, the effort to be in front of people, to keep hiding, to pretend that everything's okay, fine, normal. Okay, I'm in a fine, normal family. Nothing is wrong. I'm in a fine, normal family. There's no arguments. There's nothing going on. There's no alcohol. There's nothing going on. There's nothing going on. There's no abuse. There's nothing going on. There's nothing going on. I'm happy. I'm so happy. I'm so fine. I'm so fine. What if I can just let go of all the shame about the secrets, knowing that so many other people have secrets who feel just the same as me? What if I can just let go of the shame, let go of the shame? There's so many other ugly ducklings. So many other ugly ducklings in situations of abuse, in situations of alcohol, in situations of all kinds of things going on in the home, And one day, all this is rushing out, and the world is beginning to see that we're all in similar situations, that we all have responsibility, that we all are connected, that we're connected in so many ways. We're connected by pain, we're connected by joy, we're connected by pain and joy. And as we let go of the shame, and as we feel the pain, we're letting joy in. And as we let out what we have lived, we allow others to do that, and we find all the connections. We let go of shame. Okay. Just a moment. I'm going to have to drink some water. I heard somebody say something, but I didn't. If you want to say something, whoever it might have been. Yeah, maybe it wasn't. Anybody have anything to say before we do, I think, what will be the last round for this, and then I'm going to do the healing codes after that. Okay. And anything else? Okay, well, I guess I'm just going to have to take a breath, and then I will go into the next one. Actually, we covered most of it. Is there anything I didn't cover that somebody just would like to go deeper into? Actually, I'm getting the feeling around some of the things that Denise said about, you know, walking into a new situation and feeling so different. And so I'm just going to see what that will give, and, you know, with all of these, it gives to the rest of the group as well, because we've all been in similar situations. Okay. So, even though I feel like when I enter any room that somehow I am so different and that nobody will ever, ever really accept that difference, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though when I walk into a room I feel so different and not in such a good way, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I have not yet accepted my difference as something that's the most amazing, wonderful, great thing in the world, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I still haven't accepted that my beautiful, beautiful difference is not really beautiful, it's beautiful. And I still can't think that it's so beautiful. And that when I walk into a room, that instead of it being a negative thing about my difference, that I just light up that room. Even though I can't accept that right now, I deeply love and accept myself. Okay. What if when I walk into a room, I just light up the room? What if my difference and my uniqueness shines forth? What if I can finally accept that my difference is so amazing and beautiful and so valuable to mankind and womankind and humankind? What if I can accept that? What if I could accept that? What if I could see for myself what a beautiful, beautiful person I am? What if I could? What if I could? Why am I so amazing? Why am I so beautiful? Why am I so needed on this planet Earth at this time? Why am I so amazing? Why now when I walk into a room, I will recognize that my difference is just what the room needs, just what the room needs, just what people need. My difference, which was such a source of sorrow, is now such a source of joy and light, such a source of joy and light, such a source of joy and light, such a source of joy and light. Tidings of joy I bring. Tidings of joy I bring. Tidings of change I bring. Tidings of change I bring. I bring tidings of joy to change makers. I bring tidings of joy to change makers. Okay, so I'm starting to get in a severely altered state where I don't know how many words I can say outside the altered state. But if anybody wants to say anything further until we go into our last round of with the prayer and the healing codes, please say it now. And then actually, I just remembered at the end of the healing codes today, we'll be just going into quick check-ins for those who can stay. I'll turn off the recording, and then there'll be quick check-ins for what we're going to do today. So anybody else want to say something?
Yeah, Katie, Denise here. We're about to take off on an airplane. So
wow.
But I'll stay as long as I can.
Yes. Wonderful.
That was powerful. Thank you.
So shine your light in that airplane, and thank you so much for participating, Denise. And anybody else want to say something before we take off with the prayer and the healing codes?
Yeah, thank you so much, Katie. I made a connection when I shared the story about Valentine's Day. I hadn't made a connection with we're coming to that date. And I just sent off an email, and it was a happy feeling, and it was a plan with someone where I know there's welcome for sharing that day, and I hadn't made that connection before. So that was part of what I made the connection with, of how it's different now when you were doing the clearing for me. So thank you.
Oh, that's so nice to hear. And actually, I'm doing an interesting creativity call around Valentine's Day, which is it's not quite on your theme, but it is the theme of relationships and feeling somebody else's, which was feeling shame and all that and disconnected that way. But let's thank you, Emily. Anybody else want to say anything before we do the final clearing, which will kind of get out more of the cobwebs? Yes?
I'll give you a little break. I'll talk a little bit. How great it is to be in community like this. Because a couple of things that I would have been where I was, but I wouldn't have gone in the other places. And one of them, I don't know who it was, but I just wanted to thank the person that brought up the secrets that you had to keep being a child in an alcoholic family, because that was my experience, and it wasn't something I might have brought to this in terms of, the ugly duckling. But I want to thank that person, whomever it was, and also just reaffirm my sense that it's so valuable you know, to be in a group like this where people, where I feel safe and where things come up that I don't think are in me but are, you know. So just thank you. I guess my gratitude.
Thank you, Loretta. That's wonderful. And I related a lot to what was said about, you know, the child in an alcoholic family. I wasn't in an alcoholic family of origin. However, there was a lot of stuff going on in our family in terms of, you know, being a family that was deeply affected by the Holocaust, and my father having lost his, you know, lost part of his family and relatives there. There were things there that kind of, you know, and arguing always in the family and all sorts of things that were not quite feeling, you know, that, you know, one really could say. So anything else that people want to say?
Katie, it's Shelley.
Yes, thanks, Shelley.
What's coming up for me with all the wonderful things people are sharing is this sense of learning our individuality and trying to put it into the context of community. And how bottom line is we're always trying to prove our worthiness. I remember my father telling me at one point, in my very adult years, that why is everybody so concerned about proving worthiness? Do we not get that just because we were born to the earth that proves our worthiness? Why else would we be here? And I thought, that's a really profound, I was kind of angry at the time because I thought, why didn't you ever tell me that when I was young? When it counted. But it's a very profound thing that has stayed with me, and it's kind of the theme, isn't it, of proving our worthiness beyond everything that's happened to us.
Yeah.
Learning to be an individual and be who we are supposed to be, who we've come to be, and mixing that in with the community and how we need to have that association. Biggie that's coming to me in all of this.
Thank you, Shelley. That's so, so profound. And, yeah, it's so true that that we're always trying to prove we're enough for our worthiness, and yet, you know, the fact that we're here on this earth is our worth, and just being, and being our real selves. And I mean, it's beautiful actually how it's come out in this call with everybody saying in different ways, you know, how important it, you know, the kind of realizing the difference and accepting that difference and seeing the beauty in that difference, and at the same time seeing how important it is for all of us to connect to community and be part of community, but not as, I guess, the traditional way in society is through conformity to be accepted by the community. And actually we're talking about through difference being accepted by the community. And that's something new in many ways.
Yeah, and it comes back to the fact that our parents really weren't at the stage or age, I guess, of knowing and being educated. As someone mentioned, that they're just not educated enough. And as the generations progress through, we seem to have more awareness. And maybe we can have children that we just love unconditionally. But I think that education is part of that.
Exactly. And the work that you do in the world around that is so, so important too. And okay, anybody else, or we'll just go into the last part of the session.
Hi, this is Anne. I know we want to get going, but I just have to throw this in.
Oh, please do.
Another part of the ugly duckling for me was the total opposite, and why I felt so out of sorts is because my family kind of put me on a pedestal and told me I was perfect, perfect, perfect. And so then there was this sort of, wait a second, that's what I meant, not being understood. I wasn't mirrored back, the good, the bad, and the, you know, not so helpful aspects of my life. that I've had to do my own parenting along the way, which is my lot in life, which I've totally accepted now. But that's another piece of being sort of put on a pedestal and not seen for the wonderful things, but being glossed over for things that I have had to struggle with.
That's very, very interesting point. Yeah, because if people, yeah, just put you on a pedestal and they don't see the other parts, and I wonder, does that also lead to feeling like a bit of a fraud or something?
Oh yes.
Like, and I know a lot of people, actually this is a issue that a lot of people struggle with in terms of whether they really want to be visible with their businesses and with, what they want to do in the world, is because they feel that somehow, and I've noticed that come a lot, you know, that somehow they'll be discovered for being a fraud because they're, you know, they're not as good as people might think, or as, you know, like even with some people who have very high level jobs or something, they keep worrying that people will discover who they really are. So thank you for bringing that in.
Yeah.
And that is definitely another sense of separation, you know, too, because you're not relating to people in your full humanity, you know, the good and bad. So, and in fact, isn't it great when we can have a community that kind of is both able to see our, you know, see our warts too, and, you know, accept them. Not always so happily. I mean, nobody actually, I mean, obviously it's hard when we deal with other people's, difficulties sometimes, but at least that we're in real relationship rather than glossing over. So wonderful. Thank you. So what I'm going to do now, we're going to do the healing code for a couple of rounds. And let me see. With the healing codes, there's the truth focus statement that you do while you're holding, while you're doing the hand positions, and I'm just thinking of the truth focus statement right now. So, and people can vary it for their individual situations. Here's what's coming. I am embracing my difference, my differences, or my unique way of being, and connecting with all, and able to connect with my community. Okay, anybody have a suggestion here of how to make this better? I am embracing my unique way of being and connecting with, we could say with my tribe, or that, or and connecting with others like me. That's another possibility. Anybody got a suggestion here, or we'll go with this imperfect statement and people can vary it on as they go?
The word belonging is also coming up for me, along with the words that you suggested.
Okay. So I embrace my difference. Actually, why not? I embrace my uniqueness and differences, and I'm able to connect and belong, and feel connected, and feel like feel like I'm able to connect and belong. Do you have a suggestion? And am feeling. And I'm feeling a sense of belonging. Maybe that's the best way.
Sounds good.
Okay. So, well, We'll go with this unless somebody else has a suggestion. But I embrace my uniqueness and differences, or just you can use either the words or both. And I'm feeling a sense of belonging, a deep sense of belonging. Okay? All right, then. So I pray request that all... So I'm just going to go into the prayer, and then I'll walk people a bit through the hand positions. I pray request that all known and unknown negative images, unhealthy beliefs, and destructive cellular memories and all resulting physical issues related to me feeling like I'm ugly duckling and not belonging, not being understood, all those issues be found, opened, and healed, filling me with the love, life, and light of the divine. I also ask that the effectiveness of this healing be increased by 100 times or more. Okay, so now if you take your hands and cup your hands and point them towards the area in the middle of the in the middle of the eyebrows, and just point the energy there. Just breathing deeply and focusing on, I embrace my uniquenesses and differences, and I'm feeling a deep sense of belonging. And if you forget the words along the way, just focus on belonging. Focus on uniqueness, beauty of uniqueness. Okay. I embrace my beauty and uniqueness. So we're focusing the hands towards the area in between the eyebrows. I embrace my uniqueness. I belong to a beautiful community, a world community of unique souls. And then going down to the throat. And focusing the energy around where it'd be the Adam's apple. With your hands a couple of inches away from your actual flesh or your body. Streaming the energy through your hands. And feeling that sense of connectedness and belongingness to a beautiful community of people just like you and yet all very different, but who have feelings and passions that are very like your own. And yet each of you are very, very different. And that's wonderful. And then we're going to go to the side of the jaw and pointing your left hand at the left jaw and the right hand at the right edge of the jaw. So I embrace my uniqueness and I'm feeling a deep sense of belonging to this human community. Okay, now we're going to go to the temples, the side of the temples, focusing the energy there, the left hand focusing the energy towards the left side of the temples, the right hand focusing the energy towards the right side of the temple. I belong. I so belong. I so belong to this community. Okay, and in between the eyebrows. And then down to the throat. I'm beautifully different. Beautifully different. And I shine my light in the world. I belong to all those misfits and pioneers and beautiful people who are making a difference in this world, a real difference. I belong to that community who has suffered and had pain and had anguish and is transforming all that pain and all those learnings and all those experiences into beautiful gifts for the world. Okay, the side of the chin, the edge of the chin, focusing your hands and the energy from the hands are there. Okay, and then in a moment you're going to move up to the side of the temples, focusing the energy there. Okie dokie. Now we're going to put our hands on top of our head for a moment and just rest them there on the crown. And then in a minute is when you feel ready, you just open your eyes and look at something beautiful in your environment. Might be out the window, or it might be some object in your where you are right now that is beautiful. Wonderful. So what I'm going to do is just say, well, we're going to turn off the recording, and we're going to start the get it done part of the day for those who are able to do that. And yeah, okay. And people also, they can come in and off the on and off the get it done days if they can't make a particular check-in. They can come later. Okay, so